Praise the Lord, everybody. I am happy to be here today. I, of course, want to give honor where honor is due. Let me just apologize first for all of those that were at church last night. I did not realize that this would end up back to back. If I could have chose the lesser of the two evils, I would have. But this is just kind of how it's panned out, so I apologize. You just have to bear with me. Like Brad said, I do believe that the Lord wants to do something today. I want to say thank you, Pastor Mooney, obviously the opportunity that he's opened up. Even just having the vision for Indiana Bible College is incredible. The IBC staff, I feel like a lot of people, they get up here and they say, oh, connect with the staff. And so I'm going to say it as well, connect with the staff. If it's only one staff member that you connect with, it's so worth it that they would just pour into you and to mold you, to have that in the multitude of counselors, and there's wisdom and there's protection. There's nothing like it. And so I would encourage you, freshmen, underclassmen who have not yet connected with a staff member, it is worth it. They have time. You talk with them, get in their schedule. They will fit you in. I promise it is worth it. If you go clean their house, just go do it. I promise you, you won't regret it. I also want to say a special thank you to you all. I think there's something to be said about a group of people who come from all walks of life, and somehow we walk out of this place family. We can count on one another and pray for one another, and I think that's truly, truly awesome, and I'm very thankful that I have you all in my life, that I can count on you to pray for me, and I can pray for you, and that we can encourage one another. I'm very, very thankful. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And kind of skip around the chapter a little bit. 1 Samuel 15, we'll start with verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of his sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. Somebody say spared. And the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroy. And skip down to verse 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. This is Samuel speaking to Saul now. Verse 19, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone in the way which the Lord has sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. In verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken to the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Amen. With the help of the Lord today, I want to speak to you from the title, Spared Sacrifice, Spoiled Anointing. I think it'd be fitting if we would just lift up our hands one more time, and that we would pray for God to have his way. Jesus, God, we need you in this place, Lord. We need you in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice to the Lord. God, we need you in this place. God, speak to my heart today. God, I ask for your will to be accomplished in this house. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Are worthy of all our praise, all our glory. We will lift you up. Why don't you put your hands together? He is worthy. Amen. You may be seated. It is with a heavy heart that I stand before you today, because today I am reminded of a statistic I heard over the summer. And that statistic states that 80% of seminary students will backslide within 5 years of leaving seminary. 80%. And I realize that this is generalizing all seminary students, but even so, to walk into a school saying, I believe in one thing, and 80% of those people who said, I will follow this, to fall away. Freshman year, Sister Rodenbush and Sister Galleon started a women's night group called Soul Sisters. We had one meeting. It was awesome. And that one meeting. And I actually keep the handout in my Bible. I thought I did. It's in here somewhere. Maybe. I had it in here. They had a handout in there, and that night we got together on the third floor and barely fit in the third floor girls' lobby. People were sitting on the floor. It was hot and uncomfortable, but we had a good time, and we all received a slip of paper. And that, with that paper, you were supposed to put your name on it and put it in a basket. And does anybody remember this from freshman year? All right, we're still here. Come on, somebody. We're going to make it. And so on that slip of paper, at the end of the night, we all grabbed a piece of the paper. So we all had a name. And it was that person that you were supposed to encourage and you were supposed to pray for. You were supposed to be soul sisters. You were supposed to love them and to reach out and go the extra mile for them. And it's today that I stand here with regret, because I didn't do my part, just to be honest with you. I didn't do my part. And the name that's on my slip of paper that I normally keep in my Bible, she no longer serves the Lord. And that's why I stand here and strive to be the best student body secretary that I can be for you. And I realize that it's not behind a pulpit that I'm going to make an impact, but it's with an example in my life and being available to you. And so today I want to personally pledge, first off, that I want to make myself available to you. I want to do my part to play whatever role you need me to be in your life. Whether that is to simply say, hey, Holly, I need you to pray for me, or whatever the case may be, I want you to know that I'm available to you, and I want to do my part, because 80% is too much. One person on that slip of paper is too much to lose when we walk out of this building. I'm convinced now more than ever that whichever we choose to feed, the flesh or the spirit, will be the master in our life. I've seen it rain true so many times now. And I began to think about, how do these people, the same girl, she sat in the same student body prayers, the same chapels, the same reality week, the same live recording, all of the events that we do that are under such anointing and such power, and God moves so mightily, how do they just walk away and decide that the truth no longer is for them? I'm grieved in my spirit today. I believe that we find our answer in our text, because you see, Saul was anointed to be king, and he had the hand of God upon his life. He was doing it right to start. And then we find authority steps in and gives him a commandment to do something specific, to go and to destroy the Amalekites, a sinful people, to sacrifice unto the Lord. And we find that he simply disobeys. Verse 19, it says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? What a saying that is. What if, I can't imagine Brother Galleon coming to me and say, Holly, you've done evil in the sight of the Lord. What are you going to do about it? It's hard. And so we see that, I'm thinking, bear with me today. I was thinking, like, okay, so what was it that Saul said, I can take this task on by myself? I can show my power off. I can take my talent the way I want to, my position, because I'm anointed to be king. I want to be a warning to somebody today that if we do not submit our lives and our ministry and our talents unto God and to our authority, we'll soon find ourselves in a place like Saul. So full of ourselves that we've missed the anointing on our lives and ultimately losing our soul. And I understand this is heavy today, but I believe that there is a deeper calling that God is calling somebody to. There's a greater sacrifice at hand. And you can say, well, Holly, that's a little harsh to just prejudge people and say, oh, well, you know, if they don't do this, this, and this, just like this, then they're just going to backslide. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not expecting a perfect people whatsoever. I am far from it. That is not my intention today. But what I am saying that there are students our age, students that I came with that no longer serve the Lord because they simply did not submit their lives fully to the will of God. It's a serious matter today. A lack of submission in our lives is nothing to play around with. We think we can get away with comfortable things. I don't have to give up this relationship. We're just having fun. It's no big deal. Do I have anybody here? I know I'm real. It's all right. Just because you're playing around with things that people don't see doesn't mean it's not affecting your ministry. Just because you're not playing around with blatant things like drugs and alcohol doesn't mean that the sin you are playing with isn't affecting the anointing on your life. Let me tell you, it's not worth it. Spared sacrifice in our life. Spared sacrifice, whatever you're holding on to, your spared sacrifice that you think that you can just hold on to because it's comfortable, is not worth spoiled anointing. The risk you take when you choose to hold things back from God is way too great. It's like what Brother Galleon said on Tuesday, we've come here to learn how to be effective ministers for the kingdom, and if we are doing anything other than that, if we have any other motive than that, we might as well just hit the road. And I don't want to just push people off and say, well, oh, well, go home because you feel like you can't handle it. That's not what I'm saying. Not at all. What I am saying is that we're here to learn and we're here to grow. And with ministry, when you have accepted the call to IBC and accepted the call to be a minister, you've accepted the call to sacrifice your life. Verse 9 says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroy utterly. They took the best of the good of a sinful nature. There is no such thing as good sin. They became their own judge, no longer obeying God. And verse 21 says, but the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto God. And this is the point I want to make here, is that this is Saul now speaking to Samuel, the prophet. Samuel has called Saul out for his sin, called him out for not following the will of God. And now Saul is backtracking and saying, oh, well, the people did it. The people did it. It wasn't my fault. And so we can walk around and we can try and blame other people for our lack of submission in our life. Saul tried to blame others for what he was responsible for as king, as a minister, as an anointed minister. We cannot walk around blaming others for our lack in what God has called us to be. You say, well, so-and-so does that and that, and they can get away with it. You can't compare your life to somebody else. We can walk around and try and blame others for our lack of spirituality and submission, but at the end of the day, you and you alone and I alone am accountable unto God for my submission and my sacrifice. Your spirit sacrifice is not worth the spoiled anointing. Verse 10 through 16 tells us that Saul's authority, Samuel was warned by God about Saul's lack of submission. Don't think for 1 minute that the authority in your life can't see right past whatever you're doing. The unsubmission, the lack of sacrifice. I was hesitant. I was praying for the service today. I'm going to come down here. I can see y'all better. And the Lord impressed upon me to share a personal testimony regarding authority. I serve a wonderful, wonderful church body. I have a great pastor up in Harvey, Southside Chicago. Come on, somebody. Thank you. And so back in high school, I did not live a life pleasing unto the Lord. It's just as simple as that. I'd rather not get into the details. And I was your typical grow up in church, and I knew how to do church. I knew how to sing the songs. I knew how to pick the right set. I knew how to greet the right people, and I knew what to do. I knew how to play church, and I knew how to hide what I was doing. And I regret it, living a double life. There would be young people in the youth group. There was a big age gap in those who were fixing to go out and those who were coming in. And I would help with the music. I was making schedules and song sets. And the same time, living a life that wasn't pleasing unto the Lord, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that if God were to come back, I was going straight to hell in a handbasket. I knew it. Because I made a choice to not submit and to not sacrifice my life. And there would be young people that would come and say, Holly, how do I do this? Or can you give me advice about that? And I would just give them that copy and paste stuff, copy and paste counseling. Let me tell you something. When you copy and paste somebody's sermon and you copy and paste someone's song set, the anointing doesn't come with it. You can't copy and paste anointing. Anointing comes with sacrifice. And anointing comes with submission and a life lived unto the Lord. So I'm not living a life pleasing unto God. And I'm in my junior year, and I know that I need to get my life right. I know what's right. And I knew if I was going to serve the Lord now in this my junior year of high school, I was going to have to make the choice. Because if I didn't, I knew I would be gone. I would be too embarrassed to go back. I would be too ashamed to admit to my parents what had been going on. My parents didn't even know. No one knew. No one has to know. My junior year in high school, pastor began to preach some sermons. It was hellfire, brimstone, make you want to crawl under the pew. I don't even know how to react to those sometimes. The reality of hell is very trembling and very real. And so slowly I begin to try and bring my life back around to what was right. And so not that I didn't struggle or whatever, but I felt like I was doing good. I was getting my life back together, and I knew I wanted to come to IBC. I wanted to commit my life to God, and I knew I had some junk to work through, but God was going to help me. And it was a Thursday night. I'll never forget it. I'll never, ever, ever forget it. It was a Thursday night. My parents get a text from Pastor Anthony and said, hey, can I meet with your family after service? I was like, okay. I didn't really think anything of it. Mom said, hey, pastor wants to meet with us after service. Whenever mom was there facilitating community groups, it could have been anything. And after service, he pulls my parents into the office. And they're in there, what felt like eternity, in there forever, probably a whole 15 minutes. And I'll never forget walking into that office. And seeing my parents' face red with tears. I've never seen disappointment on their face like that. It's a very sobering moment. And I walked in, and the pastor sat me down, and my parents barely looking at me. It's like, what's going on? I said, Holly, we love you, and that's why we're here. And I just feel in my spirit that this has been going on in your life. He knew. The authority in my life knew. The authority in your life knows. The authority in your life knows whatever you're trying to hide. And it's not because they're trying to manipulate. And it's not because they're trying to make you into something that they want you to be. It's because they love you. It's because they care about you. It's because Brother Galleon wants to see all 100%, not 80% of seminary students to fall away. He wants to see all 100% to strive and plant churches and to do the will of God and to see them strive. Verse 26, chapter 15, back in our text, says, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king. I am concerned for our generation. When God of heaven and earth came down and sacrificed his life, what makes us think that we can give anything less than our life in return for a life in eternity? I brought a little example prop today. You're fine. My jingly bag out here. I love props, and I love this chicken. I have a real chicken, by the way. Her name is Nala, and she is awesome and will probably taste really good one day. Not in the dorm. It's back home in Chicago. Chickens in Chicago. Anyway, got a chicken. And I thought to myself as I was playing with this little wind-up chicken, that it's kind of like ministry. I got a point here, I promise. Because sometimes we're like the wind-up chicken. We say, oh, I gotta preach Sunday. I'll just pray before service. Oh, I gotta lead a song set. I like the one Sister Galleon did last year. No one's gonna remember. Just wind it up. Getting ready. I'm going to wind up and have a good service. I'm just going to wind it up. Let's see if this works. We're ready. We're going to have service. Guys, this chicken's awesome. Are you ready? Lean forward so you can see. And we go. And we have service. And we do what we can. And we're given everything that we've got because we've wound up for the service and we're ready. And then we stop. It's over. We're no longer wound up. And if we're not careful, we're not going to be wound up enough one time. And the anointing's not going to fall. And God's not going to have grace and mercy because we haven't had submission in our life. Because we haven't sacrificed. And the worst part of all about a wind-up chicken is I can't make dinner with it at the end of the day. This has no substance whatsoever than the real thing. People want the real thing. People want a home-cooked meal, fried chicken and mac and cheese. People want the real thing. They don't want some wind-up chicken to take home that can maybe give them a good bite or two, some entertainment. People don't want that. In Jesus' name, if we could all stand. Music, if you could come. Spared sacrifice is not worth spoiled anointing in our life. We have a daily choice to serve God. A daily choice to sacrifice everything that God has given us, our very life. It is what will stand in the balance when we walk away and when we choose to either get up in the morning and say, God, I'm going to serve you, or we don't. Because I believe that the girl that was on my slip of paper made a choice one day and said, well, I'm just a little too tired. I'm a little too burnt out. I'm a little too this. I'm a little too that. And so I'm just going to not, I'm not going to do it today. Just one day. I wonder if we could all close our eyes today. I want to first take a moment for God to search our hearts before we even come to the altar, that we would take a moment and we would repent one more time. I believe God is going to move today, and I believe that he's going to do something mighty today. But I want to first take time right where we're at to say, God, make my heart right. I want my motives to be right. I want my intentions to be right. Come on, somebody. I know it's uncomfortable, but why don't you lift up your voice to the Lord? God, I want to be pleasing to you. Every choice that I make, everywhere that I go. God, we've got to have search my heart, God. Make me clean. I would ask that if you're willing to sacrifice everything, that you would come. Only if you are willing to sacrifice everything, that you would find a place in this altar that God could deal with you and say, hey, I've been pulling at your heartstrings, and I'm pulling at you one more time because I want you to sacrifice this. I don't know what it is today, but God's calling someone to a greater sacrifice, a deeper call today. God, I've got to have you.